All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sticky Bleachers, a podcast. I'm Bobby here with you today.
And not a spelling champion of the world. My name is Corey. Hello, Bob.
Hey, I am not a spelling champ either, so we're both on the same page. But yes. Congratulations to apparently the co-champions, right?
Yes, this is the one time of the year where we can all get together and the internet can just be super, super, super racist about people who have just won a championship in something.
It's just this time of year that the internet gets to do that?
Yes, that's right. This is actually the only week of the year that the internet gets to be racist.
Okay.
For some reason, they get a pass on this. But yes, I have the news story here. We have news. Beep, 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 beep.
Breaking 24 hours later.
For the third straight year, and something I did not pull up, Bob, is the complex rules as the Scripps National Spelling Bee. There must be some very arcane rulings here. But for 3 years in a row, the Scripps National Spelling Bee has ended in a two-way tie. We have fifth grader Nihar Janga and seventh grader Jairam Hathwar shared the title this year. After outlasting the eight other finalists, Janga and Hathwar remained locked, Bob, in heated battle, nailing words like Lyged, Villancico, and Inambu.
Wow.
Janga had two chances to win the trophy outright, but stumbled on two words, Tetradrachum and Ayakahuit. I'm guessing on a lot of these. Finally, after three hours of these two, Hathwar earned his share of the trophy by correctly spelling Feldenkrais, and then Janga followed suit by nailing Jesselschaft.
Jesselschaft.
I don't know much about the words in that one, but just the way that was worded, and I didn't take journalistic integrity to its limits and look up the rules of this thing as to how they can arrive at a tie and how, I don't know, just it seems like the structure is interesting, Bob.
Well, it seems like they could go on for days. So if the one contestant gets the word wrong and the other one gets the word wrong, they still continue to go on, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
You know as well as I do, Bob.
I gotcha.
You and I go back a long way, but one of our passions was not the competitive spelling circuit.
No.
But
it wasn't until the great days of ESPN2 that we started paying attention to the spelling bees on national television.
The spelling bee and trick shot pool, Bob. That was the two sports that I was introduced on ESPN2. But if you want to see, I mentioned the rampant racism there. If you want to just some racism, go to any sports site that's covering this particular event and just look in the comment section below. And right away, you will see all kinds of things about the death of white America. And yeah, it was unfortunate.
Poignant conversation happening in the comment section.
Man, just it's like this just makes you sad. But
are they talking about the Eminem song "White America"?
You know what? I bet the people who are angry and quoting "White America" probably don't appreciate Eminem's "White America."
It's a great song, though.
I'm guessing. I just imagine racists probably are not big Eminem fans.
Yeah. But I thought maybe, I don't know. Maybe Eminem dropped a new track.
I did pull a comment, Bob. You can tell me if this one lands. Had me scratch my head a little bit. Username so funny it hurts, which made me go, ooh, this is going to be a good one. A real zingamabob, if you know what I mean. Here's the comment, Bob. Yeah, you tell me what you think. Tell me if this makes sense. I'll try to read it as coherently as I can.
Oh, it's one of those things. Gotcha.
I'll try to read it as the punctuation dictates, but here we go.
Okay.
I always try to figure out why this is considered a sport, as it always shows up on sports feeds, ESPN, etc. And then I have to ask myself to use it in a sentence and ask for the derivation of the word.
Okay.
Gotcha. Was that
I see
funny
where
it hurts,
I see
Bob?
Where they were going. No, it wasn't so funny. It hurts. It kind of crashed a little bit.
No, I didn't think so either. Yeah, he really crashed.
It really
crashed. I
feel
like a little bit of punctuation would have helped that a lot.
And, so it's just one sentence, no commas or anything. No,
well, no, there was commas in there. There was commas, but he only used commas. I assume it's a he. I'm sorry. This person only used comments, commas, just to separate the words. Then I asked him to use it in a sentence and ask for a derivation of the word, which I understand that's a thing in the spelling bee. You can ask for a language of origin and derivation of the word and have them use it in a sentence so you can see how it's used. But I feel like that joke just kind of lost its direction. Halfway through, it lost its direction.
Yeah, well, I think the jokes in the comment section, that's a difficult platform to make a joke. It's all about, it's like sending a joke in a text or something. You're relying on the people reading it to actually get it. They have to read it with the comedic timing that you want. So when are we going to have voice comments that you can leave? Like the little, you can just leave a little voice comment. So that way you can get your joke across. Anyway, just throwing out internet ideas.
I like it. Now, one more comment, Bob. This was from a person you might know. After the victory, it was Nihar Janga. He crossed his arms and made the X after his sports hero, Dez Bryant. And on Twitter, Dez Bryant, the verified account, who is at Dez Bryant, says, hashtag Nihar Janga, you just made my whole day, buddy. Congrats on winning the hashtag Spelling Bee Champ. Somehow, in two words, thanks, Dez, some way I have to get you to a game, hashtag X, hashtag the letter X.
Interesting. Do you think, what is it, Nihar Jang, right? Is that his name?
Nihar Janga, yes.
Nihar Janga. Do you think he corrected him on the somehow? Send back a tweet.
Yes.
Do you think Dez Bryant was watching the spelling bee? Or how do you think he found out about that?
Dez Bryant?
Yeah, do you think he was watching it, like sitting at home watching the spelling bee? Or do you think like his manager or agent shot him a text and said, hey, that kid on the spelling bee championship just did your X thing?
Yeah, I'm guessing that somebody alerted him to that, but maybe he was watching it. I mean, maybe. I certainly wasn't watching it.
I like thinking of Dez Bryant sitting on his couch watching the spelling bee championship in May, you know, just sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah, I was like, what would your average NFL star be doing at this time of year? Certainly, there's probably no reason why he couldn't have been watching it.
Smoking pot and watching TV, probably.
Ooh, are they between drug test windows?
Wow. Yeah, everyone has a fall guy, Corey.
Everyone has that's right.
That's what Chris Carter said. You got to have a fall guy. So you can smoke the chronic and then pass all the tests still.
Thank you for saying the chronic. Thank you for calling it the chronic. That's a harken back to our NFL draft episode, which you should listen to for lots of very half-hearted
Tunsil
chronic
learned
jokes.
The hard way. You got to have a fall guy. And you can't videotape yourself.
Yeah, that's
beating
right.
Beating that said fall guy.
Yeah. The gas mask bong is for real.
I wonder if there are drug tests in the Spelling Bee Championships.
I don't know.
HGH or whatever drug you can take to become a better speller.
Maybe that
limitless pill that they can take.
Yes. Well, I see ads for the limitless pill all the time, Bob, when I'm going to sports sites and researching for our things on the sides.
Oh, totally.
Limitless pill. Doctors don't want me to know about it, but my goodness, there is a lot of people trying to sell this. What say we start talking about some on the field, on the court sports, Bob?
How about it? On the ice and on the court.
Yes, on both the hardwood and the hard water.
The same stadiums, right? Do they use the same stadium sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, but I think they change the floor. Although it would be pretty fun to see a hockey match on a nicely waxed
Rollerblade
Gardens floor.
I never understood why we don't do rollerblade hockey, but anyway.
Well, we used to in gym class, but we were always in the second gym that they didn't mind ripping up the floor
with
the roller skating classes. But you know who's not playing in any second gym would be the Thunder and the Golden State Warriors, Bob.
No, locked in a heated matchup between two colossal teams, it seems like.
Colossal teams. I love it. Yes.
Well, Thunder and the Warriors, you know, you think like Greek gods and everything. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
But yeah, I mean, I think the Thunder have kind of shocked everybody by giving it to the Warriors, and the Warriors aren't playing like the team that that won 73 games, so it's a tough playoff matchup for sure. But do you think Golden State has a chance to come back here? I mean, they won last night, so
yes, and I think they do. I think they do,
really?
And I think they will.
Interesting. You know, so the next game, do we know it's in Golden State, right? The next game.
I am not sure. What am I, a sports broadcaster, Bob?
I know.
What are we? What are we? Sports commentators? Are we supposed to know what's going on here?
I'm sorry. We shouldn't know that, but anyway, the thing is that the Thunder are playing really well, and they only have to win one more game. So that's a big thing if they have momentum going for them. And they really didn't get blown out. I mean, it wasn't like the the Warriors beat them in typical Warrior fashion yesterday, like by 40 points or whatever, rain in threes. The Thunder kept staying with them, and it was a game all the way to the very end. So even in the loss, the Thunder have to feel pretty good about playing them that well in Golden State. So,
yep, right. Yep. Well, we'll see how that unfolds. That's going to be going on this week. We also have the Raptors and the Cavs, Bob, out in the east side. Could the Canadiens get into the finals?
Well, this is the probably like the reverse of the Golden State-Oklahoma City matchup here. So you have the Cavaliers, who kind of took one in the chin there from the Raptors when the Raptors tied up the series. But again, the Cavaliers, the next game came out and they just blew them away. So for the Raptors, they have to feel a little bad about the loss that they have. So we'll see how they respond. They've been a resilient team all year. And down 3-2 to the Cavaliers, I mean, they have a chance, obviously. I mean, they've been playing them really well. And it seems like they're a very inconsistent team, though. It seems like one night they show up and they're fairly dominant, the Raptors. And then the next night they show up and they're not the same team. So a bit of inconsistencies, but you always have to wonder, too, about how much the Cleveland Cavaliers rely on LeBron and what happens when he's not, you know, when he has to bear the weight of the entire Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes.
It's got to be tough. It's got
to
be tough.
I would love to see what a series would look like that involved Toronto. I mean, I would be curious to see if the fans would be as crazy as they get with hockey, or if they would be as polite as Canadians are so famous.
Well, I don't know. Last year, that Toronto Blue Jays team was pretty fun to watch, and their fans were, let's say, opinionated. How about that? When it came to the playoffs and everything, so
yeah.
I think they can get pretty riled up there.
I was gonna say, but the baseball and hockey both have a much longer history in Canada than does pro basketball.
But you never don't underestimate the power of Drake in Canada as well.
Yeah, so. I know. So yeah, is Drake filling the seats with the
Raptors?
He's
the official spokesman, I think, spokesperson for the Toronto Raptors. So he gets to play bandwagon, but he's from Canada, so his heart is always there. It's interesting because Drake went down to Miami and was partying with the Heat when LeBron was in Miami. And now that he's back in Cleveland, Drake's gone back up to the Raptors and hung out there. So it's kind of like a bit of a rivalry, I guess, going on between Drake and LeBron. But anyway.
Did I tell you about Drake that talk. I heard some like hardcore gangster rap out of Drake, and I was just
that's
shocked
impossible.
To know that that's what it was.
There's no way he could do that.
If you're not aware of this, you need to find it. Because I was with my younger brother, who is much more plugged into the modern music scene than I. And we were listening to a Spotify playlist. And I heard a gangster rap song that started with like a gun cocking and firing and just violent lyrics. And I was like, hey, bro, who's this? And he's a Drake. And I was like, oh, nice. Good. But who is it really? Is it Method Man? What?
Yeah.
No, I knew it wasn't Meth Man. For the record,
I don't think anyone that was on Degrassi can be a gangster rap.
No, he was going now. Again, it wasn't quite as intense as like Method Man would be. I mean, it was still like it was in a smooth, you know, Drake voice, but just the content wasn't like, you know, girl, I'm gonna show you a good time, which I think that's Drake's next number one hit. You haven't heard that one yet, girl.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
show you
the
a good time.
Unreleased Drake.
It's gonna drop next month. I have early access on that. But this one was like, man, I'm gonna shoot you a bunch of times instead of like, girl, which is so that's his following track. But don't tell anybody that I'm dropping these early. Drake would be upset with me.
Of course, and you know what happens when Drake's upset with you? He'll pop.
Well,
a cat.
He's either gonna show me a good time or shoot me a bunch of times. So it depends on what his mood
Ooh,
is.
That's a good rhyme. You gotta tweet him that rhyme.
Oh, rhyming time with time. That's good stuff.
Yep. Oh, man. You're a regular Bill Shakespeare over there.
I'm busting it over here. My Irish friend, man. Bob, visited Toronto during the first part of their playoff chapter. And I can't remember who or which when Pacers? It was that he was there recently. But he went to a Blue Jays game. He had gone to a Seattle game, and then he was in Toronto later.
Yes.
And he was so excited about the Seattle game, he had to go to another game because they were telling him, oh, the Toronto Blue Jays are so good. You've got to go to the game. You've got to go to the Toronto game. They're so good. They're going to blow everybody out. And he saw a Rays game. The Rays were in town.
Oh.
And he said, but the Rays beat them like gangbusters, so I don't know what everybody was talking about.
Yeah, I watched those games. Yeah, the Rays handed it to him. But The Blue Jays are in a tough situation this year. I mean, they had such an incredible run last year in the second half that the expectations, it was like the entire, province of Toronto and all of Canada got behind them and finally cared about baseball. And then they expected the same this year, and they're pretty much the same team that they were last year. They started off pretty slow, and they were 500 until second half of the season. That's when they really kicked it in. So,
yeah,
everyone relax about the Blue Jays.
Yeah, to somebody who is not like a baseball fan, a lifelong baseball fan, to explain to them that baseball, even if a massively powerful team goes up against almost nobody, any one game could go either way, depending on a pitcher has an off day. You get a couple of good innings together, if you're an underdog team. In other sports, like American football or, other sports, a massively overpowered team is going to win much more often.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Baseball could go either way. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah. And that's also fun with the baseball as well, that it takes so long for the season to play out that you have to get used to losing. You have to accept it when it happens. And they always say you just win your series, win 2 out of 3 mm-hmm. and get out of there. So
there you go. It's
fun. It's very similar to basketball. I mean, that you have, dominant teams that can lose any given night. So,
right. Yeah. So hopefully by the end of next week, Bob, we'll have more answers as to what's going to be going on in the NBA finals. If we are going to find out for real.
Are you still going with your Golden State Toronto finals prediction?
Yes. Vince Carter, rest his soul, is going to be coming back, making it happen. I love it.
Okay, cool. All right.
So let's go to the from the hardwood to the hard water, Bob. The NHL, and cue the sound of the goal horn going.
Or the Zamboni music? Don't they have Zamboni music?
Well, they probably is like Sweet Georgia Brown or like the Baby Elephant Waltz or something.
Yeah, probably. Not the circus music.
Yes, just like it's something. Something big and lumbering. That would be your Zamboni.
Tweet us
music.
Your best ideas for Zamboni music, please.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Tweet us anything, by the way, at twitter.com/stickybleachers, one word, all lowercase, if you care to.
Do you want me to pick that up for you?
dropped.
We're dropping things.
But yes, the Penguins in Game 7 overcome the Lightning, and too bad for the Lightning not getting into the finals, but the Penguins are going to take on San Jose, and that's going to round out, Bob, the Bay Area and having a sports year to remember. They've hosted now all of the biggest things. They've hosted the Super Bowl. They've got the NBA Finals in the last year and maybe again this year. And now the Stanley Cup Finals are going to be coming to the Bay Area.
It's quite impressive. I mean, I can't think of another area that's ever done anything like that. I mean,
right. The Super Bowl, like part of it is luck because the Super Bowl just happens when it happens and it's scheduled years in advance. So...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be one thing if the 49ers were there too. That'd be crazy, but I don't think they're
Bob,
going anywhere.
Don't be.
Let's
ridiculous.
Not joke. Seriously, but it's got to be a good sign though for the San Francisco Giants, though.
Yes,
I mean, it's an even year. I mean, they already had that going for them.
They've
won every even year for the past 3 years. And so that's got to be a pretty good sign, wouldn't you think?
I would say so. So,
did you put money on it?
No, I'm not going to put money in. I'm not going to put a prediction.
You want to call Vegas right now and just put some money on the Giants to win the World Series?
Yes. Now, I live in a country, Bob, where sports gambling is just legal. I don't have to go to Vegas. I could walk down the street and put my money down.
I don't know if
they would have baseball. I've never been to inside a betting parlor in Ireland. I don't know if they even have baseball lines, if they would even take my baseball bet.
Well, you got to go in before you leave. You got to go to one.
I don't know. They always have the windows are always covered. And whenever I walk by, the floor is always littered with ripped up tickets and sad looking men.
Yeah, those are broken dreams and broken men.
I mean, see,
those are on the floor. Yeah, well, you just got to walk in and see it. You got to just experience it just to feel it,
I guess, man. It's like, I don't want to be broken. I like
Oh, you don't have to be broken. You don't have to be broken. You could just go and experience and be like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what I thought. It's like going to a dive bar. You're not expecting anything from it other than it to be a dive bar.
But at least at a dive bar, like I know what's going on. I'm familiar with dive bars. I can get a beer. I might get sick from drinking that beer because the taps might be moldy, but I know my risks. a foreign gambling parlor. I don't know.
You could just step and peek your head in the door and be like, oh, yep, it's exactly what I thought. Oh, see you guys. Bye.
Oh, hey, see you later. Hey.
Oh. I was in the wrong place. Bye.
So, we've gone into riffing here, Bob. Does that mean everyone should safely assume that we don't know very much about hockey? We're just
I know Sidney Crosby is on the Penguins, right?
There you
so
go.
So who do you,
you
well
go.
Who do you got? You got the Sharks or the Penguins? We have animals fighting in on the hockey.
Well, the Sharks biting a hockey stick in half, which I've always thought was like the most BA logo. One of the most BA logos in sports.
Yeah. Oh, and they have the great teal color. I believe they still have the teal color.
And I used to have a Sharks hat just because I liked the black and teal.
Yeah.
So I had a Marlins t-shirt, and I had a Carolina Panthers, like, jacket thing and a Sharks hat. So I was
you
like,
really liked the teal.
I did. And I was mixing up all the sports with that teal because it was the first Marlins logo. Do you remember from the 90s when they was the F with the with the fish? And, and they, like, really – they weren't to the tropical pastel color now. It was, like, they're teal and black.
No. I liked the Florida Marlins look. That was nice. I'm not a huge fan of the Miami Marlins look, but that old Florida Marlins, I don't know. I like the teal color, so.
All right. Now, back to it. Are you going with the Pens? So I know enough that they call them the Pens sometimes.
I know, right? Yeah, they do. Well, because Penguins, you know, it's not as intimidating as Sharks, so.
Yeah.
But but they do have a cool little penguin playing hockey. I mean, he looks he's got a little not scarf intimidating.
On, doesn't he?
He like looks cute. Yeah, it's like a cute little...
Well, he
penguin,
looks like the guy from the Kid Cuisine box. Like, that's what I think. It's like the little...
Yeah, I think, he's the same artist.
He has like a little polar bear friend and like a walrus and a top hat and like a penguin with a scarf.
Well, if this were happening in the Wild Kingdom, I mean, advantage goes to the Sharks, I would think, right?
Yes. I mean, and of course, geographically, not very accurate because polar bears and penguins live on different sides of the planet and walry.
Yeah. And I don't think Pittsburgh has a lot of penguins. So it's interesting how they got that name. But maybe they do. I've never been to Pittsburgh. Yeah. I don't know if they have like a penguin bay, but I don't know. If I had to pick a winner, I'll go with the Penguins, the Steel City. How about that?
Okay. All right. Well, we're good. So, speaking of championships and notable times in sports, Bob, I pulled out a couple of moments from this week in sports history. A few important moments that would have passed here. We have a few important anniversaries of big events.
Yeah,
and after that, Bob, I have a quiz for you.
Cool. So, I'm ready.
And there's a little bit of connection maybe between the notable moments and the quiz, but here we go. So this week in sports, this is the, third week of May. In 1874, Bob, we have the running of the second Preakness Stakes. That is the horse race. William Donahue aboard Culpeper won in 2:56.5, 2 minutes 56 and a half seconds. 1907, Chicago White Sox, Ed Walsh, no hits. The New York Highlanders, 8-1 in five. In a five-inning game, a five-inning no-hitter in 1907.
It's still a game. It counts.
It's an official game.
It's an official game. Oh, that he must have been happy.
I know. Oh, called it. Oh, call for called darkness. It. I got a no-hitter, baby. Woo! It's 1907. I assume that's how everybody just talked to each other.
Everything was in
then.
Black and white, and everyone talked like that.
That's right. 1925, Babe Ruth is finally out of bed 5 weeks after an ulcer surgery, probably caused by all the whiskey and cigars. Also in 1925, actually on the same day, the Tigers' Ty Cobb is the first to collect 1,000 extra base hits in his career, 1925.
Also enjoyed whiskey and cigars.
Yeah, also whiskey and cigars, and I'm sure he had stomach and health problems in his end.
Can you imagine what Ty Cobb would have written in the comments section on the internet?
I know. We were just talking about that with, and I'm gonna mix it up again. Is it Clemens or is it
Curt Schilling?
Curt Schilling. Keep thinking it's Roger Clemens. It's Curt
Roger
Schilling.
Roger Clemens has not come
things.
Out any, not said anything about the transgender bathrooms. So
I keep forgetting which Hall of Fame pitcher is the old crank.
Roger Clemens just wants to exonerate his name. He doesn't want to tell anybody where they can go to the bathroom.
Yes, that's right. 1956, Bob, we have the 55th Women's French Open Championship. Althea Gibson beats Angela Mortimer 6-0 and 12-10. Now, this week, the French Open is running, so we don't have a result on that for this year. But noted this week, Bob, Maria Sharapova, currently banned by the International Tennis Federation from competitive play, has been named to Russia's Olympic team in Rio. Oh.
So how is that going to work out then? Can she actually compete with the Olympics, or does it fall under that jurisdiction of the?
See, I think the International Tennis Federation just does the big tournaments. They just do your French Opens, your Wimbledons, and stuff. And the Olympic Committee. We all know that the Olympics Committee is flexible when it comes to doping, especially with the Russians, if you know what I mean, Bob.
Well, yes, we'll see how they get around the Olympic doping.
No, the story I read, in seriousness, Bob, the Russians submitted her name as a competitor with full confidence that by the time the Olympics rolled around, she will have been cleared and
what'd she get busted for? Was it HGH or
It was something. Started with meldonium, I think is what it was called. It was a drug that was very recently put on the banned list. So she had been taking it when it was okay to take, and then as of January 1 this year, going by my memory here.
It's an androstenedione situation.
Yeah. So she just kept taking this thing she'd been taking for a long time, despite its change in status. She got busted. She got banned.
I do think that's a free pass, don't you think? Yeah. I mean, something that wasn't banned and all of a sudden it's banned. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of banned drugs on there. And
yeah, I'm sure there
probably should pay attention to it if you're a professional athlete, but still.
Right. Continuing on, Bob, 1972, boxer Joe Frazier, TKOs Ron Stander in five for the heavyweight boxing title this week.
Nice.
1994, noted one of Bob's favorite people in the world, I happen to know, 1994 hockey great Mark Messier scores a natural hat trick for the New York Rangers in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And finally, Bob, another one of your favorites, 1990 Philadelphia Phillies retire Mike Schmidt's uniform number. And what number was that, Bob? Do you know?
Nine?
Mike Schmidt was number 20. You're very close.
20.
Now, speaking of baseball greats, Bob, let's go on to the quiz, because I know you're a big fan of Mike Schmidt. And
is this Mike Schmidt territory here?
Mike Schmidt enters into this quiz. It's actually a baseball card quiz, just about baseball cards and baseball card collecting. Now, I happen to know I was a card collector for a short time, and I know, Bob, you also were, probably at a different or longer than I, so you have a little bit more of a career in this field.
Oh yes, and that's the right word, career. Absolutely.
I mean, tell me. Maybe you can preface it. Tell us a little bit about your card collecting career, Bob. What years? What series?
Heyday of the late '80s into the early '90s. I mean, I just used to get the box sets and everything, and you used to be able to buy like a pack of cards or like a box of cards and stuff that all came in the packs and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So you could. I mean, it was like getting the whole, because you know, like the display cases that they have at trading card places and stuff, and some grocery stores have them. But you can just, get a whole box of baseball cards and open them up and see who you got. And then you get the Beckett magazine and you open it up and see how much everybody's worth. And it's fun.
Right. Right. All right.
Doesn't really happen that much anymore, but it's
all
fun.
Right. So you feeling confident about this quiz?
I have no confidence in this quiz.
No confidence in this quiz. Okay. Well,
because I have no idea where it's coming from.
Let's get it started. Question one, Bob. Which of these three players started the rookie card craze of the 1980s? Was it Tony Gwynn? Was it Don Mattingly? Or was it Cal Ripken?
I'll go Cal Ripken.
The answer is Don Mattingly. His 1984 Donruss rookie card was the most sought after card of the 1980s, sparking the big rookie card craze.
Just because of his popularity?
I suppose because of his popularity, but it was his 84 Donruss rookie card in particular that was
interesting.
That was big. Now, I think you'll know this one, Bob.
Old Donnie Baseball.
Which of these three players' card has been professionally graded by the Beckett grading service more than any other card in history? So which of these three players has had their card graded more? Is it Ken Griffey Jr., Mickey Mantle, or Mark McGwire?
Well, that's tough. Because I remember Mark McGwire when he was going... when he was chasing Roger Maris, that his
are you familiar
card.
With the grading service? Are
yep.
you familiar with
yep.
that part of this? Okay.
Yep, being graded out. Yep,
get it graded out.
You get your cards to be really, worth something. So
that's right. That's right.
So during his run, the home run in the season, I remember his rookie card shot up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But Ken Griffey Jr. is the kid And he has always been very popular. And he has a really popular rookie card. It's always the rookie cards that are worth the most. And who was the other? Mickey Mantle?
Mickey Mantle was the third choice. I've heard of him. You've heard of him?
Yeah, I've heard of him. He was a baseball player?
Yes.
Noted. I'm going to go. My first instinct was the kid, so I'll go with Ken Griffey Jr.
It is the 1989 Upper Deck Ken Griffey Jr. card is the card in particular, Bob. And
that's the rookie card.
Can you picture the card image? If you can describe Absolutely. That card's image to me, what right? What's it look like?
He's facing the camera. He's holding the bat, and he's got his Mariners hat on. It's
well, there
pretty,
you go. That's right? That's good enough. And this was so iconic, Bob. Even I knew that one right away. I was like, I know that card. I didn't that's have great... it, but I know
no,
that card.
I didn't have it either. I'd seen it. There was another rookie card that he had that wasn't worth anything. I think that might have been the Donruss one. But
okay. All right.
Anyway.
Well, you might get this one too, Bob, because this was right in, I think, in our wheelhouse. In 2003, whose game-worn jersey was cut into 2,100 pieces and Ooh. Put into packs of Donruss baseball cards? Was it Barry Bonds, Babe Ruth, or Mark McGwire again? So this is 2003, game-worn jersey, Barry Bonds, Babe Ruth, or Mark McGwire?
I will go, man, that's a tough one.
Mm.
It's that right time frame where it could have been anybody. It's hard to imagine them cutting up Babe Ruth's jersey and then just putting it in packs of cards. So I'll go Barry Bonds. I'll go Barry Bonds.
Actually, you should have gone with your gut, Bob. It was Babe Ruth.
Really?
Donruss spent more than $250,000 on a Yankees home jersey that Ruth had worn in 1925, one of just three known to exist, and then they cut it into pieces to stick in their packs of cards.
I have one that A-Rod, an A-Rod game-worn jersey and a card. That's as close as I got. It's not worth probably nearly as much.
Yes, and that was interesting. I wouldn't have gone with that one either, because, like, yeah, why would you destroy that? But whatever you do to sell cards. All right, here's the next one, Bob. Yeah.
Especially in 2003.
Which slugger from the 1970s reportedly collected as many copies of his own rookie card as possible in hopes of someday having one for each of the home runs that he hit during his career? Was it Jim Rice, Reggie Jackson, or the great Mike Schmidt?
As you were reading this, Reggie Jackson just kept popping into my head as someone that would do something like this. So I'm going to go Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson is correct. According to his old hobby rumors, Jackson planned to acquire 563 rookie cards, one for each home run, and then sign them upon his induction into the Hall of Fame. That was his plan.
What a character.
I don't know if he ever completed that. I should have looked that one up, maybe. but I don't know. Is he a Hall of Famer? Reggie Jackson?
Yeah. Reggie's one of like three players that have 500 home runs and I think... three World Series rings. I think that's the stat, but
okay.
It's crazy.
All right. Here's the next one, Bob. Which Oriole eventually fessed up to scrawling the infamous F-face obscenity on Billy Ripken's bat before the 1989 Fleer shoot? Was it Brady Anderson, Joe Orzelak, or was it Billy Ripken himself?
Well, it was Billy Ripken himself, I believe. Was it?
All right. You are correct. After 20 years of silence, though, Bob, it was a mystery. Ripken finally admitted to CNBC sports reporter Darren Rovo that he wrote the obscenity on the bat himself.
Now, and, I did have that card. I did have
did
that
you
one.
Find that card? Yeah. 1989 Fleer, Billy Ripken. Anyone who's unfamiliar with that, I won't repeat what's written on the butt of the bat, but I'll let you go Google that and find that one.
It's Buck you.
It's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We got two more questions here, Bob. There we go. What was the most money ever paid for the 1909 T206 Honus Wagner card? We all know that Honus Wagner card, that one. What's the most money ever paid for that card? Was it $280,000, $2.8 million, or $28
million? I'll go 2.8 million, I think.
It's 2.8 is correct, Bob. In 2007, awesome. An anonymous bidder paid that much for that card that had once been owned by Wayne Gretzky.
Apparently
the Gretzky great one. At one time, the great one at one time owned that card. Final Man. Question here, Bob, and Mike Schmidt's question has already passed, so no worries, he's not involved in this one.
Son of a Schmidt.
In the 1950s and 60s, Topps often gave ballplayers household gifts in exchange for the rights to their images. That's pretty funny.
Really?
Which wow. All-Star complained to Topps that the toaster he'd been giving as a gift was burning his toast? Was
That's
it,
hilarious.
Was it Willie Mays? Was it Duke Snyder? Or was it Stan the Man Musial?
And what decade was this? The 70s?
The 1950s and 60s.
Oh, 50s and 60s. So who are the – we got Stan and who else?
Yes, it's Duke Snyder, Willie Mays, okay. and Stan the Man.
Was burning his toast.
Burning his toast.
Let's think. Well, let's go. I'll go Willie Mays.
Willie Mays is correct.
Ah, sweet.
Mays, he wrote a letter to the company asking that they replace the faulty toaster that they'd given him. That letter itself was sold at $2,000 at auction in 1989. So imagine.
By Topps.
Imagine compensating players by giving them a toaster to use their, like a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll give you a toaster. We'll use your image and sell your image.
Can we have the rights to your image? We have this really nice toaster.
We have a really nice toaster. But if
it
burns
can toast,
your toast
two slices at once.
He'll ask you to replace it. Well, good job on that one, Bob. That was that was a good one. I have
that was
to
a good
credit
quiz to put together, buddy.
Yes, I have to credit that quiz. It was not of my writing. I edited it and changed it a little bit, but it was by Dave Jamieson, author of the book Mint Condition: How Baseball Cards Became an American Obsession, from 2010. So, anyone interested
cool.
in a book about the business of baseball cards and card collecting, that would be a good place to start. And it was an interview of his that I pulled this quiz.
That's cool. There was a big heyday of baseball card collecting, and I don't know if it's coincidental or not, but it was around the time the internet kind of became a household thing that it kind of started to fall by the wayside a little bit. But it seemed like the cards that were really worth something all of a sudden weren't worth anything. So
the
market crashed.
Yes, yes. Do you know who's probably a baseball card collector, Bob?
Johnny Manziel.
I don't know if Johnny Manziel is, but I'll give you a clue. It's back. It's back, back, back,
oh,
back, back.
Yes.
I think it's gone. It's out of here.
Yes. The Burn Man.
The Burn Man is going to be on his way out, announcing just this week that after the football season here, the 2016 NFL season, he is on his way out. And lots of controversy popping up about his announcement, Bob.
What's the controversy?
Well, are you familiar, Bob, with the big ESPN expose book that came out about 6 or 7 years ago? It was called Those or Some Guys Have All the Fun or Those Guys Have All the Fun. I read it and it was quite interesting, but like most media empires, ESPN was set up and run by a bunch of jerks.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like just cutthroat business people.
Mm-hmm.
And Berman was on the early train of all that. It was also
gotcha.
In its early days, a den of sexism and drugs and iniquity and just really mm-hmm. nasty stuff when it was still kind of the wild, wild west on cable.
Yeah.
So there's lots of, you know, mysteries about Berman's past that people are speculating on.
Bunch of skeletons in his closet coming out.
Possibly. And that's where, and then it's, you know, a comment section is where the skeletons really start to dance, as you
gotcha.
Know.
Well, again, here we have another case of someone announcing their retirement about a year before it's actually going to happen. So mm-hmm. we're going to have this whole media blitz for the next year about Chris Berman going away, at least during the NFL season. But
yes.
Anyway, what are some of these skeletons in this closet?
Here's a comment from the Swami. And you know the Swami.
Wow.
It's got to be good if it's from a Swami, a real Swami.
Yeah.
See, and a lot of these are based on rumors. The Swami says his contract is rumored to expire at the end of the NFL season, or he can retire now, or ESPN cannot renew his contract. So he's choosing to
gotcha.
Say I'm retiring rather
than
getting
fired. It's
the Jay
Leno situation.
Yes, he knows that his time at Bristol's at an end. Now, another rumor that is being floated out there is that Disney is kind of the cause for a lot of this, is cost-cutting measure. They're getting rid of the expensive people. They're
gotcha.
Not renewing the contracts of the most expensive people. And Berman also, he notes, Berman's not doing all that much at ESPN now. He does a couple of events. He's NFL stuff, home run derby, and where else do we see him? He mentions rumors of sexual harassment, does the Swami, but again, who knows? But now with Berman gone, Bob Lay is one of the last original ESPN staff still working
and
there.
Bob he doesn't Lay do much there.
The no, he does... He does. Oh, Bob Lee. Sorry. Yes, he's outside the lines. That's his big one. And then
yep.
David, also on that article, says ESPN, Lifetime for men.
It's I don't know how people watch it. I mean, I can't watch it. It's just it seems it's so cheesy and it seems very fake. I don't know. I don't you need to just watch sports in this day and age of the internet. Like, you right. don't need how. Why would I watch SportsCenter to get my sports highlights and everything?
Well, right, Bob, and like young people, why would young people watch the evening news to get their news? Or why would young people watch right. a 24-hour news station? Like, I'm going to just turn on CNN and sit here for a couple of hours and just watch CNN.
Oh, yeah. If I want to feel like a piece of crap, yeah, then I'm going to do
well,
that.
Well, right, but now that we can pick and choose what news stories we want, we don't mm-hmm. need young people don't need CNN so much anymore. We might go to CNN.com and then click on their clickbaity listicle. About five reasons why Obama is blowing up the world.
Right. Yeah, you do open up that side of the equation. Because you get, I mean, with any media outlet like ESPN or CNN or anything like that, you're getting a public opinion, or you're getting an opinion of somebody that becomes public opinion. And so, you know, we think Chris Berman's a nice guy, so we'll watch him pick who he thinks is going to win this football game. And if we like his pick, we're going to go with it ourselves, whether we know anything about the teams or the game itself. And same thing happens in CNN. I mean, with political candidates or any news event or anything like that, the opinion is made for the person watching, and it's their choice to either take it or not. And in this day and age, though, we get a lot of people that just go onto the internet to find their stuff and kind of form their own opinion, which can get kind of crazy too, because freedom's scary. But
yes, and I just find myself I'm pretty ambivalent about this, because especially when it comes to play-by-play, I'm not really so much attached to individual voices, you know.
No,
I might be more likely to pick a commentator that I really like, say like Bob Costas, who is just like classy for mm-hmm. commentary, for real journalism or reporting. But yeah. I don't know if Berman has ever been associated with real journalism or reporting. He's been an anchor, and he's been a play-by-play, and he's been a presenter, yeah. but I wouldn't associate him with, like, I want his opinion. I'm going to go find Berman's
thing.
Opinion on this thing.
Well, it's something like Bob Costas, or even like Vin Scully comes to mind then too, or Bob Uecker. Like, those guys, they're not slapstick guys, and I know Bob Uecker is kind of a slapstick guy, but they have stories. They have, like, poignant conversations that they have with themselves or with you, the listener, or, you know, with somebody else in the booth. But, like, if you watch, like, Sunday Night Baseball or Monday Night Football or anything like that, it's a lot of just slapstick stuff, a lot of, like, high-energy, nonsensical conversations that kind of get you through the game and make it a little more supposedly interesting. But, like, Chris Berman doing the home run derby, I don't need to hear him go back, you know, like 20 times, you know, in a game, like,
mm-hmm. or doing highlights of Pac-Man Jones returning a kick going back.
Exactly. It doesn't enhance the highlight. It doesn't make me want to tune in and watch it. So
yes.
And those Sunday countdown shows, you just get a table full of big headed egomaniacs, yeah. just all talking.
And in Berman's case, that's a literal phrase, not just a figure of speech.
No, yeah, well, all of them, yeah, all of them have a giant head, but my God. It's one of those things, like, I don't know who tunes in to watch it. I did as a kid, but that was when it was a kid, you know, and there was nothing else to do. But now that there's the other stuff to do, I wouldn't know why. I don't even know why it's still on, but.
Well, it's causing prices of cable packages to go up and up. I mean, up. Your cable package is going up.
Maybe that's what it'll do. It'll just go on and start doing bit commercials for people.
Yeah, there we go. Maybe that's how he'll earn that entire bit. But anyway, Mr. Whoop. I guess God rest your soul and enjoy your retirement.
What's the guy from Police Academy?
Michael Winslow, yeah.
Michael Winslow. He's the Michael Winslow of ESPN.
He is kind of the Michael. Here is a car engine starting.
It's exactly what he is. So, in that way, we're sad to see him go. But when are they going to get Wade Boggs on SportsCenter now? That's something I'd tune in to watch.
Well, yes.
Right?
Now, speaking of the chicken man, God rest his soul, too. There's some more controversy over nothing. Very much alive. He made an appearance, and oh my God, Bob. He came out onto the Fenway Park fields to honor the 1986 team in a little ceremony they had, which is quite nice, of course.
Absolutely.
He came out, and he was wearing a World Series ring, but it was for the Yankees, not the Sox.
Not the Sox. Well, you didn't get one.
I'm pulling my best angry Red Sox fan voice out here, but I'm trying not to use too many F words. Sox, yeah. Came out in a Yankees instead of the Sox. You're well, Dunkin' Donuts.
It's easy to say, like, well, they didn't get a ring, so.
Yeah, so, but everyone
what is he
got
supposed to do?
Everyone got very upset. Everyone in Boston, yeah, wait, boys, you can't come out on our field with a Yankees ring. I'm gonna do it, yeah, I'm gonna hammer you. But
it would have been better if he came out in a Yankees jersey. Yeah. What they would have done.
Yeah.
I just bet he had a couple of cold ones and forgot he had his ring on.
Yes.
Or
so
didn't
in
care.
The,
he's Wade yeah. Boggs.
In honor of Wade Boggs, a comment that I pulled there, and this is just a beautiful comment, Bob. The username is Pete Carroll is a 9/11 truther. That's the username.
He is.
Yes. And 9/11 truth. Time to buy a 30-pack and a bucket of chicken. This is really going to disrupt my work schedule this week.
Yes.
Celebrating Wade Boggs Day.
Everyone needs to have – we need to have a national Wade Boggs Day. We shouldn't wait till he passes. We should have a day where you drink 30 beers and eat a bucket of chicken.
Oh, man.
And you just – that's what you do. That's what
you
do on Wade Boggs
someday
Day.
Someday when we get our live streaming set up on Sticky Bleachers, Bob, we will have to – you and I will
Can we
sit
do that?
There and we will split a 30-pack and a bucket of chicken.
Well, let's figure out a day that works for Wade Boggs. Maybe Wade Boggs' birthday, probably. Wade Boggs Day.
Yep.
Today is National Grape Popsicle Day. So, I mean, if we can have National Grape Popsicle Day, then we can have National Wade Boggs Day, right?
Grape Popsicle Day. I'd say Wade Boggs is more important to me than grape popsicles. So,
absolutely.
When it comes
He's
to
done
deserving
more for America
of a day,
than
he
grape
has.
Popsicles.
He really has. What have grape popsicles given us? Diabetes. What has Wade Boggs given us? Dingers, Bob.
Dingers.
Dingers and dingers and dingers.
And all this mythical folklore about all these beers that he can drink on a plane or in general. Now, so we have close to us, we have the Field of Dreams, and there was one of the local casinos put on an all-star dream team event. A bunch of old retired baseball players came out, and I knew the guy that was driving around all the baseball players and stuff, and one of the baseball players was Wade Boggs. And so I had to ask, you know, close enough to the situation, I had to ask, like, so does he really drink as much as people say he does? And, like, we pulled over as soon as he got off the plane. We pulled into the nearest gas station, and he got a 12-pack and started opening them up there and drinking them all the way to the hotel. And
nice.
So it is true that he at least, when he's on vacay.
All right. You know, He likes to have himself a good beer, yeah. On his way out to the
But
field
it was the first
dreams.
Thing it was he requested. He's like, I got to stop at a gas station real quick.
Now,
so
that would have been...
He picked up a 12-pack.
Yeah, was Pete Rose also in the van at the time? Like, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall of that van.
Well, Pete Rose was supposed to be, and he canceled last minute due to anxiety, I believe is what his cause was. So, but then he was in Cincinnati doing something with the Reds that weekend as well, but...
He got a better deal. Someone offered him more money to do
a
Reds appearance.
That's exactly it. Yep.
Because he is so, all about the money.
He's all about the money. He is all about the money.
You
can
go to Las Vegas and get anything signed by Pete Rose. You got to pay him cash directly, though.
Yep. Yeah, he doesn't take credit cards either. Too many paper trails.
Well, of course.
But we got to get National Wade Boggs Day. We'll get on that. Hashtag National Wade Boggs Day.
All right, well, let's see if we can make that happen, Bob. How about before we wrap up, a little update from the world of competitive video game speedruns, and then we'll put a cap on this one.
Absolutely. We've had enough good ideas here today.
Yes, we have a couple of good ones here. Some of these ones you might be familiar with, Bob. We have Pac-Man World 2, any percent category. That's in 43 minutes, 17 seconds by average Trey. So, Trey, I say you're better than average. You've got the world record. We've got a new record in the Tomb Raider 2013 remake glitchless category in 2 hours, 28 minutes, 22 seconds by Jawibe. Sorry if I have your name incorrect there.
Like they found the glitches and everything in that game?
Yes, they already have, and it doesn't take long to find glitches. So when you have a glitchless category, that's when people have found some significant glitches that allow you to skip large parts of it. Probably it's a sequence-breaking glitch. I don't know for sure, but there's a lot of games like that, open-world exploring games, where you can get yourself to places you're not supposed to be by tricking the game or by doing abilities that the designers did not think that players would find. Continuing on, we have a new record in Xenoblade Chronicles X Any% category in 5 hours, 39 minutes, 49 seconds by Nepomuk. So you're welcome to watch that, Bob. 5 hours, 40 minutes if you want to watch that run.
We have, an extra 5 hours here.
Yeah, Mario Party 10, all boards. Ooh. In 1 hour, 51 minutes, 42 seconds, and 55 hundredths of a second by Kura Yamasai. And then finally...
What platform do they make Mario Party on still? Mario Party 10.
I don't know what platform Mario Party 10, if that's the newest one, is probably on the Wii U platform. I don't know if that's the newest one. I played, I think, the first two or three on N64.
Right. That's what I remember Mario
Party. And I wrecked my hand, and I wrecked my friend's controllers with that first one. Anyone who's familiar, Bob's laughing like he knows what I'm talking about.
That's a control record game there.
It really was.
It really is. I mean,
N64 controllers, working ones, are actually in rather short supply these days because of that game, because the joystick just was crushed. If anyone's too young to have played those old ones, there were several games in Mario Party 1 and 2 and 3 maybe that required you to spin the joystick in a circular motion. And the fastest way, of course, to do that was to put the joystick, if you can imagine, put the joystick on your palm and spin your hand against the controller. Now, that, of course, tore the flesh of your hand, but it also just really, really was hard on the internal mechanics of those, which I think were like, there was like elastic bands in there that kept the joystick centered, and they just kind of got stretched out beyond belief with that. So
they'd fall to a side then.
Yeah, and then there would be like bits of torn skin like underneath the controller. So if you,
it's amazing
apart,
though, that the joystick itself actually like remained as intact as it did. You know, it didn't like pop off or anything. You know?
Right, but the internal components were just crushed.
Yeah, internally fine, but externally they were doing solid.
Yes, and finally, Bob, a game that's based on a movie that I know you like, Hook for Super Nintendo. Oh,
that's a tough game. That's a tough
this
game.
Is the Any% category. 15 minutes, 32 seconds by Lively Raccoon. So there you go. Are you familiar with that game,
done.
Bob? The Super NES Hook game?
Got it on an emulator. Absolutely.
All right. Well, there you go. You can check out that video. You can go to reddit.com/r/speedrun. That's where I find all of these. That's where the speedrun community is. So you can find any of these records that I did mention. You can find the highlights. And you can watch that 5-hour, 40-minute Xenoblade run, Bob, if you care to.
Oh, the 52-minute Hook run there.
Yeah, 15 minutes. Yeah, 50. You
oh,
got 15
minutes.
Minutes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, 15 minutes, 32 seconds. So you got 15 minutes. You can watch a Hook speed run right now, everybody.
Wow. It's better than watching highlights of Chris Berman, so.
That's right. And you know what else you can do in 15 minutes? You can watch one of our YouTube videos on our YouTube channel at Sticky Bleachers. Most of them, at least the baseball ones, run about 20 minutes or so, the RBI baseball. Thanks to Baron Von Lecter, who programs the hacks, not for us, but he programs them, and we use his excellent work to make those modern simulations. You can watch those. Thumbs up those videos and hit that subscribe button. We're still on our way to 100 subscribers. I think we're still 11% of the way there, Bob.
Excellent. 11% is better than 10%.
And make sure to tweet us the picture of your hashtag ninth inning nachos. I tweeted my ninth inning nachos from the account just today as we were recording, and I have some more nacho pics to put up there. So do tweet us those. We are looking forward to seeing those.
Absolutely. Hashtag ninth inning nachos. Gotta love it. And Wade Boggs Day. We gotta keep on the
Wade Boggs Day. Yeah, son. You're listening to us on our podcast. Of course, we have the YouTube channel. You can find us on Twitter. We mentioned before it's Sticky Bleachers. You can find us on Facebook, Sticky Bleachers. Do like us, do share us on those platforms. Do get in touch. We love to read comments from you on the podcast and on our videos, Bob. And I think that's about everything for this week. What do you say?
I say you're about right. So see you guys next week. Have a great
one. Bye bye.